And the conclusion of the Writer's Almanac marks the beginning of Vent Stay on the Jefferson Exchange, your weekly chance to vent your spleen politely on topics in the news. Our topics this week, paid sick and maternity leave and highway transportation funding. Call us at 800-838-3760 around the region. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782 by email jx@jeffnet.org. Let's start with sick and maternity leave. Recent figures show that 61% of American workers get paid when they need to call in sick, and the percentage increases with income. So the more you make, the more likely you get paid sick leave. Eugene is considering an ordinance to require employers to provide sick leave. The council will get a draft ordinance in time for a discussion and perhaps a vote in July. And this happens while President Obama is talking about paid maternity leave so women don't take a huge financial hit when they leave to have babies. California, Rhode Island, and New Jersey provide state benefits, but there's no national system. So the questions, should there be? What's fair to workers and to companies in paid sick or paid maternity leave? Let's get your thoughts on Vent Stay. 800-838-3760, 541-552-6782, email jx@jeffnet.org. Issue two is what we take in and spend as a country on transportation, building in the first place, then maintaining what we have. A big chunk of the money for that work comes from Federal Highway Trust Fund, filled by gasoline taxes, which have not been raised since 1993. The trust fund will run out of money by October 1st unless Congress does something. So here's where you vent in. What should Congress do, and what should we do on a more permanent basis to shore up transportation funding? 800-838-3760, 541-552-6782, or jx@jeffnet.org. It's Vents Day. We'll take your calls in 1 minute. It's 8:36 on the Jefferson Exchange on Jefferson Public Radio's News and Information Service. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. This is our Vent Stay segment, your chance to vent your spleen politely on topics in the news. Our two topics this week, paid sick and maternity leave as one topic, transportation funding as the other topic. Join us on the Jefferson Exchange. Phone numbers here around the region, 800-838-3760. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782, by email jx@jeffnet.org. One part of the sick and maternity leave thing I want to underscore because we kind of dashed through it. Yes, it is true that 61% of American workers do get paid when they need to call in sick, and that does increase with income. Therefore, it decreases as income goes down. So the lowest paid workers in America are also the people least likely to get paid sick leave. Often they are part-time. Often there just aren't benefits involved in their work. And so if they call in sick, they simply don't get paid. So they tend to go to work when they're sick. And think about the kinds of jobs that people in lower income positions are going to be doing. We'll get into that further as we go on. But what's fair? What's fair in requiring paid sick leave of employers to provide for employees? And at what level of government should this be going on? Should the city of Eugene, for example, even be involved in talking about paid sick leave as a city ordinance? Is it something we should have on a national basis? Let's broaden this out to a discussion of maternity leave as well, because that's not provided for on a national basis either. Join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760, 541-552-6782, or jx@jeffnet.org. Here's Paul in Grants Pass. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day.
Good morning. I have to first bust your chops because I don't have anything waggish to say about not laughing at my intelligent life comment the other day.
All right. So, chops busted.
So the sick leave issue, I don't think that it's something that the government should mandate, but I think any employer with an ounce of sense should recognize the benefit of sick leave. When you have someone who is sick, who is ill, and has a communicable disease, they're going to spread it to other people. It's a cost of doing business, and it costs more to have more people sick and more people inefficient than it does to have that person home and not communicating that disease to other workers. Secondly, if they're at work, they're not nearly as efficient as they might be, generally nowhere near peak performance. And so from the perspective of whether an employer should offer sick leave, absolutely. It makes economic sense from the lowest, most minimum wage employee to the CEO of a business. It makes perfect sense, economic sense all the way around. Whether a state or nation should mandate it, I'm not so sure. Same kind of situation with maternity leave. People need time to recover, and people need time to take care of their babies. It's the most important thing we do. We have a class over here where I work that teaches people how to take care of the elderly. These are the two times when people are most vulnerable. Those kind of leaves, again, make really good economic sense from the second perspective of sick leave, and that is that if this person doesn't completely have their head in the game, they're not going to be working at peak performance, and it's not going to be cost-effective for the employer to have that person there.
So in a sense, you're really trying to put them at ease, that they do have the time to get better, to recover, to come back to work, fully ready to work.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I'll take a mental health day when it gets too bad, you know, mm-hmm. and that's just the way that it is on sick leave.
I noticed that a lot of companies seem to be moving toward a paid time off situation, Paul, where they're just sort of rolling sick and vacation together. So the less you use your sick time, which is a way to disincentivize that you'll end up with more vacation time.
Absolutely. And that's you'll find that that people tend to use it interchangeably unless you've got somebody that is an absolute Nazi on the rules. On that stuff anyway. You know, check and see how many Friday and Monday sick days Charlie's had on an ongoing basis over 5 years. That kind of situation.
Right.
So on the highway funding situation, mm-hmm. I don't know what the answer is. I think the first thing we have to do is we have to move away from the automobile, move back towards mass transit, light rail, high-speed rail, things along those lines. When we have funded transportation, for example, in the Willamette Valley, a huge amount of the money that was supposed to maintain our infrastructure, which then later created a crisis when the infrastructure needed to be maintained, was quietly transferred from the funds. In governmental accounting, you have silos of money. And so you have one silo that's for repairs, one silo that's for new construction, one silo that's for research. They quietly moved the money out of the silo for maintenance into and long-term maintenance into the silo that built new roads that allowed the developers to develop all that land and make all that money out there. They didn't contribute nearly enough in that sense. So maybe a higher development charge, you know, when a new road's going in, something mm-hmm. like that, or tightening the rules on when money can be moved in those silos would be the first thing that I would do. The second thing I'd do is focus more on high-speed transit, high-speed rail. We may be in the situation where we have robot cars, please God, soon. And when that happens, it may be a situation where you have high-speed rail running from Medford to Grants Pass, and I just grab any robot car and take it home if I have to go to Medford.
All right. Thanks for that, Paul. Appreciate it. Always good to talk to you here on Vents Day. Vents Day is your chance to vent your spleen politely on the topics in the news that we are presenting. Today's topics are paid sick and maternity leave, and your thoughts about who should be in charge of making sure that's provided, if it should be provided, and if so, how. Our other topic is transportation funding, because the Federal Highway Trust Fund is about to run out of money, will by October 1st, says the Congressional Budget Office, if Congress doesn't do something. So should we raise the gasoline tax from its current 18.4 cents a gallon? Hasn't been raised in 21 years, so it's probably time. But while we're at it, should the gas tax money only go to highway funds, or should some of it go, as Paul had talked about, for non-highway transportation? Amtrak's been asking for a half cent of that tax for years and years, which would go a long way toward making Amtrak solvent. But that's not the way things have happened in Congress thus far. What would you like to see happen with transportation funding? And or talk about paid sick and maternity leave. Our topics on Vents Day, 800-838-3760, 541-552-6782, or by email jx@jeffnet.org. Here's Aaron in Medford. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day.
Hi. I have comments on both topics for sure. And I on the first, I'd like to note my understanding of current benefit laws in Oregon, that vacation and any kind of benefit accumulated by the employee from the employer is not something, to my understanding, that's enforced in Oregon. If an employer gave you a check that stated something along the lines that you have this many days of sick leave and this many days of annual leave that if you were to get a check with a zero balance the very next month, then there would be no fault found by the employer. Do you have any comments on that?
So what you're saying is that there are no penalties for misuse of the system?
Yes. Well, from my understanding with the organization Bully, which it forces most of the Oregon statutes, and it's the direct line for a complaint on an employer statewide, that there is no enforcement of that.
Hmm.
There is no Oregon laws that mandate that employers give what they say in the first place.
Interesting. And then Boley is the Bureau of Labor and Industries. Brad Avakian is the commissioner. Have you taken some things to Boley and had no success?
Yes, I have. My wife accumulated something like 180 hours, or excuse me, 1,800 hours, and then was put on part-time and lost all those hours. And we did get approached by a couple of civil lawyers because they got the information from Bully, but I referenced I gave them all the handbooks, everything else, and it came back to us that Oregon does not enforce the ability of accumulated leave or any kind of benefits package.
All right. Well, I think you've given us a topic for another day's work to talk to the folks at Boley about how that works. Thanks for the call, Aaron. Appreciate it. And did you want to talk about the other one, too? You mentioned transportation funding.
Yes, I do. I think ultimately that mass transit isn't very effective, and you can see that in the East Coast prevalent with it's just a waste. And I think that any time the government gets involved, other than just the simple charge or the tax, it becomes kind of nightmarish, you know. You can see that with any bridge or anything else. I think Oregon should enforce more tolls and the gas tax as a really fair way to reap the cost for the roads for the large level of people that are commuting to workplaces that have a higher pay.
All right. Thanks for that, Aaron. Appreciate it. Good to talk to you. This is Vent Day on the Jefferson Exchange. We're taking your polite ventings on a couple of topics on the news. We're talking about transportation funding in light of the information that the Highway Trust Fund may go dry by October 1st, the beginning of the next federal fiscal year, what we should be doing about that. Our other topic is paid sick and maternity leave. What's fair? What's fair to the employee? What's fair to the employer? And who should be making sure that those benefits are delivered? Join us on Vents Day at 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782, by email jx@jeffnet.org. I did mention earlier that the Eugene City Council is considering a paid sick leave ordinance, and we'll be discussing the ordinance that staff drafts for them at a meeting in July. The Register Guard put an editorial out about this on the 22nd of June. It says, in principle, paid sick leave is unassailable. Everyone should have this benefit. Allowing people to stay home when they are ill protects public health. No one wants a sick person serving restaurant meals, caring for children, or sneezing in an adjoining cubicle. Parents should be able to stay home to care for sick children so that the chances of a virus spreading to an entire class are reduced. Taking a few days off work to recuperate or care for a family member should not be a firing offense or the cause of a crisis in the household budget. Writing this principle into law presents challenges. Eugene's aim should be to keep the ordinance simple. If achieving the goal of simplicity results in leaving some workers uncovered, that's a small price to pay for an ordinance that extends paid sick leave to a majority without alienating businesses that would provide the benefit. The Register Guard's editorial continues, Eugene's ordinance should exclude coverage for employees who would be hard to track or who aren't members of a regular workforce, such as part-timers, seasonal workers, independent contractors, telecommuters, and interns. If any such exclusions were found to leave gaping holes in the sick leave ordinance or created loopholes to be exploited by unscrupulous employers, the ordinance could be tightened at a later date. Any such tightening would be more readily accepted if the initial implementation of the ordinance were perceived to be simple and fair. The Register Guard's editorial on sick leave, as envisioned by the Eugene City Council, concludes a high level of support, both on the council and among the public, can be maintained by striving to ensure that the details of an ordinance do not harden the current opposition or create new enemies. That means crafting an ordinance that most employers can implement with relative ease, one that conforms to the common sense and humane notion that sick people shouldn't be forced to go to work, while keeping costs and record keeping at a minimum for businesses that already feel beleaguered by regulations. Well, there's a whole larger discussion there about how beleaguered businesses do feel about regulations. You can add that into your comments here. Join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760 or 541-552-6782 or by email jx@jeffnet.org. Paid sick and maternity leave, one topic, transportation funding and how to handle that, the other. Jacob in Gold Hill writes in about transportation. He says, yes, the gas tax should be raised, and it should be used increasingly for public transportation, especially railroads. Yes, for paid sick days and maternity leave. One doesn't have to be a communist to believe that we're all in this together. For businesses below a certain level, e.g. $5 million or less, maybe they should get a tax break for the money they spend to support their employees when they're sick. That from Jacob in Gold Hill. Here's N-Word and Ash. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day.
Hey, good morning. I was just wanted to call in and say how bad I feel about people who have to do that if they have to work when they're sick.
Right.
I think it's part of our cultural sickness, because we, instead of regulating commerce, commerce regulates Congress, so people are given bad choices, and the most choices make them either obsessed or something, or basically sick in the head to begin with, and then they eat a bunch of junky food and whatever, you know, and they're psychologically abused and physically abused and spiritually confused, and, you know, they don't have a clue, you know, and so here we are.
All right, so there's a vote.
Bad state.
All right, paid sick leave. All right, thanks for that, N-Word. Good to talk to you. Join us on the exchange on Vince Day. We're talking about paid sick and maternity leave on one hand, transportation funding on the other. Federal gasoline tax, 18.4 cents a gallon, hasn't been raised in 21 years. And obviously in that intervening 21 years, there have been lots of changes in the efficiency of the only gas-burning cars, diesel cars too for that matter. Also the issue of the fact that there are hybrids and electric cars now that use far less fuel, therefore pay less per trip because of the fact that they're using less gasoline. And so we have not adjusted the gas tax rate. So the Federal Highway Trust Fund, which pays for a lot of projects across the country, if nothing is done, will run dry by October 1st, the beginning of the next fiscal year. If nothing is done by Congress, in other words, and of course there's a whole other realm of discussion there about whether we trust Congress to make that move. So let's get your thoughts on this. 800-838-3760 around the region. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782 by email jx@jeffnet.org. The Record Searchlight in Reading weighed in on the highway funding issue and said that Congress has waited until the last minute before and dipped into general revenue accounts to replenish the highway fund. But it's time for Congress to come up with a permanent solution to highway funding. It seems likely that in the short term, Congress will appropriate money from the general fund, who wants to raise taxes in an election year. But what lawmakers need to do is put aside their constant backbiting and inability to get anything done. Voters are tired of petty vindictiveness, especially when it involves issues vital to the national economy. They need to develop a coherent national freight and highway funding strategy, and they need to do it soon. Well, I'll tell you something, as a railroad buff and somebody who's been reading about transportation issues for several decades now, this is a discussion that's been going on for 40 years anyway. People saying, you know, it's really time to come up with a national transportation strategy. Do we want to encourage the use of highways? Do we want to discourage the use of highways? Do we want to get people on a rail? Do we want to get people on rubber tires? Where do we want to go? And can we come up with a comprehensive plan instead of passing piecemeal bits of legislation that address this? Given this being an election year, the chances of this happening are probably slim to none, but at least there could be some discussion of what to do specifically about the Highway Trust Fund. And one recommendation would be to raise the taxes from the 18.4 cents a gallon where they stand now and have stood since 1993, just to follow inflation, would have gotten up to 30 cents a gallon. So what's the appropriate way you think we should be moving ahead on this? 800-838-3760, 541-552-6782, email jx@jeffnet.org. Here's Bob in Ashland. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day.
Hi. Yeah, I have been listening for a while, and I think that no one has said anything about the oil companies themselves, you know, paying off politicians and stuff, because the last thing they want is public transportation. They want more roads and all that kind of stuff, so that we'll spend more money on our gas and our oil. I'd like to hear what your thoughts are on that.
All right, let me have that again.
Yeah, I think the oil companies are probably convincing the politicians to keep putting money into roads and keep it away from public transportation.
Well, there's certainly some cozy relationships there, and I'm glad you brought that up, Bob, because, as I mentioned, I've been watching the fact that Amtrak has been talking for a long time about, gee, we would have a much easier time of providing a national passenger rail system if we could have just a half cent. In other words, of the 18.4 cents per gallon, Amtrak would get 0.5 cents per gallon dedicated just to Amtrak. They've been talking about this for at least 20 years now, and it hasn't happened. So whether it's a direct result of oil companies or just a result of general orientation toward rubber tires, because it's not just the oil companies in that case, it's oil companies, it's automobile manufacturers, it's all the people who have a vested interest in what happens on roads who would be saying, let's keep the system as we have it right now. What are your thoughts? Join us on Vents Day. Here's Grumpy John and Grants Pass. You're up. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Hey, Jeffrey. What we need with the highway department is somebody who is rational to put some oversight on it. If you drive north out of Grants Pass, you'll see a giant, huge construction going over the freeway with a blinky sign that used to be handled by a little generator and a tow around blinky sign. If you go a little further, there's an exit where they put up over six huge streetlight type gadgets. You know, somebody has to come in and say, quit spending this as though you need to buy everything in the world. Now, and also, number two, if you want highways, tax where they are worn. Get a tax on the studded tires. They need a scientific analysis of what actually wears the roads out, and I'm telling you that it's studded tires and the big heavy trucks. Without that analysis, you can't direct funds. You can't say, "Oh, you bought a hybrid, so you have to pay for the damage the trucks and the studded tires have done." Get some science and get some rein in these just profligate spending that goes on all the time. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Grumpy John. Appreciate it. Kathy in Grants Pass, looks like you have the last word. Welcome to Vents Day on the Jefferson Exchange.
Hello, thank you. Yeah, I feel like that the one caller talking about the oil companies really is hitting on the crux of it. The oil companies pretty much run everything, and Prohibition was started to remove alcohol stills that were all over America running people's tractors, and they were all shut down because Rockefeller gave $5 million to the temperance movement. It really had little to do with drinking, and I think we could grow our own fuel, have lower carbon emissions, really actually none, and have more efficient cars and be able to transport ourselves and save money for things that are important, like our kids and food.
So you'd like to see alcohol used as fuel instead of as people fuel?
I would, and I would like people to read the book Alcohol Can Be a Gas and see what they think about it by David Bloom.
David Bloom, okay, yeah, you called the other day to tell us about that. We've been looking into
yes.
it since that time. All right, thanks for that, Kathy. Appreciate it. And we will certainly be having this discussion again because, again, it's something we've been talking about for decades now, what the proper role of government is in deciding transportation policy. We have to figure out something together. I mean, do we ever actually use government for that purpose, or do we respond to things as they go wrong? Could we have a discussion in advance and say, hey, we could be doing this. We could figure out what our transportation system should look like in the future. Well, we'll have that discussion, and we'll certainly have more discussions down the road as well, probably about paid sick and maternity leave, particularly as the Eugene City Council moves ahead. Thanks for taking part. Thanks for listening to Vents Day on the Jefferson Exchange.